Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And it's Sunday, February 26th, 2023. And you can join us here every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern time. There you go. And that's also 4 p.m. Pacific. It's really a pleasure to be here. It's a blessing for Ed and I to be here each week. And we're just glad that you're tuned in. And, you know, we're always grateful for Ray Powers giving us the opportunity to broadcast here. He's been doing that for a number of years, and we're grateful for that. It's really a blessing to be a part of the New Visions Radio Network and to have an opportunity to just open the Word of God and just see what it says, what it has to say to us.
And give us hope for the times we live in.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's amazing how when we open the Bible, the comfort that we get. And some of the, we're going to talk about that today, aren't we?
Yeah.
And hopefully this will be an uplifting message for each and every one of you. But before we get started, we just want to tell you a little bit about Prophecies of Hope. Can you tell us a little about the ministry, Ed, Prophecies of
Hope? Well, we're a small little ministry in Stanton, Virginia. Mm-hmm. We have a Bible study on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we have people that actually Zoom in to this meeting. So if you're interested in doing that, you can email Mark at prophecyhope.com or myself, Ed at prophecyhope.com. We also have a church service on the Sabbath or Saturday morning at 9:30. We have a Bible study, mm-hmm. and then at 11 o'clock we have a worship hour.
Yeah, and if you don't Zoom, you can Zoom in for that Bible study also. But the worship service we stream, and you can find that at www.prophecyhope.com. That's our website. We are working on that website. I've had some issues with it, but Lord willing, everything will be worked out. It seems to be functioning fine from the viewer perspective. We're just having some programming issues. But on that website, if you choose to go there, you will find hundreds of sermons. You will find our radio programs archived there. And there are many topics. At the bottom on the left, you'll find a search bar where you, if there's a particular topic that you're interested in, if we have discussed that topic, it will be listed there, and you can just type in the topic. For example, if you want to know about Christ in you, you can type that phrase in, and it will come up, and it'll show you all of the sermons and the radio programs that we've done on that particular topic. And there have been a lot on that topic.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the focus of this ministry, is Christ in you, because that's the focus of the Bible, isn't it?
It's really the second half of the gospel story not too many people talk about.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to, after we begin with prayer, I'm going to ask you a question about that, Ed, and you might have to remind me, because I don't have any notes here. So the other thing is, when you on the website, you will also find some older newsletters. We are going to try to get those things started again. You know, it's hard to keep up with everything between the Bible studies that we have and doing this program and preparing for the studies that we do at the church.
Right.
It's a lot going on for this little tiny group.
Yeah.
So we're going to ask you to pray for this ministry, that we can continue to do these things and that we have the resources and the energy to do it, because it takes a lot of time.
It does.
It really does. So I'll tell you what, to get this study started this evening, I'm going to ask Brother Ed if he would open with prayer for us.
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're again grateful to be able to come together and to open your word and to see what hope you have for us today in this world that we live in, where there's a lot of difficult things going on in the world. Father, open the word to us. Give us understanding that we can have hope and peace in spite of what's going on in the world around us. Father, I just ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, we were talking last week about counting the cost.
Right.
That's what we talked about.
Yeah.
And we were just a moment ago, I mentioned that we were talking that this ministry focuses a lot on Christ in you. And you said, well, that seems to be the second half of the gospel. What do you mean by that when you say that?
Well, let me explain that by going to Romans chapter 5.
Okay.
Can we go there?
Sure.
To me, Romans chapter 5 is really, in a nutshell, the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And most people understand the gospel as, you know, Christ's crucifixion on the cross.
Right.
But there's more to it. And we'll see that in these verses.
Okay.
All right? So let me begin with verse 6 of Romans 5. I'm going to be reading verses 6 through 10. And this is the modern King James Version. Verse 6 says, "For we yet, being without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Now, what do you think he means here by being without strength?
You know, that's a good question. I think that all of us have our, we're born into sin, so we have tremendous weakness, don't
yes.
we?
We have difficulty being obedient to God.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true, because of sin.
Right, and so that's a weakness that we have. We don't have the strength to become obedient to God. So in verse 6 it says, "For we yet being without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will with difficulty die for a righteous one, yet perhaps one would even dare to die for a good one. But God commends his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us."
Hmm.
Let me stop here. You notice what it's saying here. It doesn't say, well, I have to be able to do this and this and this before I can have this gift of Christ's death in my life.
You know, and that's a great point, because so many times we think, well, I have to meet up to a certain requirement before Christ's blood applies to me.
You know, some people will say it like this, well, I'm not good enough.
Who is?
Yeah. You know what Charles Spurgeon would say to that person?
What's that?
He would say, how fortunate you are.
Hmm.
Because you're exactly the one that Christ came to die for.
Yeah, so Charles Spurgeon was a preacher.
Back
right?
in the early 1900s,
okay.
Yes.
And so, yeah, so he considers it a privilege to be that way.
Yes. It's because that gives us hope in our life.
Hmm.
Let's continue on in verse 9. "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life."
You know, so many times we look at this that I'm saved by the death of Christ.
Right.
So when this says saved by his life, we know from what the Bible tells us that Jesus lived, and he died, and he lives again.
Yes.
So when this is talking about saved by his life, what are we talking about here?
Well, you can see here in this verse 10 that we're reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Sin has separated us from God.
Okay.
So Christ bore the penalty of our sins on the cross,
yes.
which brings us into a reconciled relationship with God.
Okay.
But now what? I still have life to live. I'm still in this sinful world. The devil's still working on me, trying mm-hmm. to get me to fall.
Mm-hmm.
How do I maintain that relationship? How do I maintain that lifestyle that's acceptable to God?
Yeah, so it says here, we shall be saved from wrath through him, right?
Yes.
And then in verse 10, at the bottom, it says, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Yes.
So that's talking about because of his resurrection.
Yes.
So now that Christ lives again, he can help me to overcome.
Yes.
That's what this verse is telling
yes.
me. So we're not talking about necessarily, because the order of things is that he lived and then he died. And then in this order, he died and then he lived again.
Yes.
So that's the life that can help me now.
And this is the second part of the gospel story not too many people talk about, that we're saved by the life of Christ, the one that he wants to live in us.
So what I hear you saying is that salvation didn't stop at the cross.
Correct.
That it's a process that takes place in me as I live today.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And that's biblical.
Oh, yes. It's throughout the New Testament. This is what Paul preached.
So last week we talked about counting the cost of discipleship
right.
and how we wouldn't start. We looked at a verse that said you don't start to build a house without first counting the
yes.
cost.
Yeah.
And we talked about some of those things and the troubles that we go through
right.
in this world. So once you have become a Christian, is it worth it? That's the question we need to answer.
And we talked last week about the cost, the difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the benefits.
Yeah, let's do that. That's where we left off last week. So where would you like to go to show us from the Bible?
Let's go to one of my favorite texts. It's in Matthew chapter 11,
okay,
verses 28 through 30.
All right.
Matthew, and this 11. Is Jesus talking. And do you want to read that, Mark?
Sure. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I'm reading from the New King James. It says, excuse me, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Do you think most people have burdens today in their lives?
Wow, I think the vast majority of us have burdens of some sort. We all have burdens.
You know, not only in our personal lives, in our relationship with our loved ones and the experiences we have daily in life, but look at the problems in the world in general.
You know, here we are, we're coming toward the end of February 2023, and there are earthquakes and just wars going on and shortages of things.
Yeah.
It's tremendous what we see going on.
Right.
And these things do. They burden us down. Even if they don't affect us directly right now, they're on our minds. And we need what Jesus is promising here.
You know, he's promising us, "I will give you rest."
Yeah.
You know, some people may say, "Well, what does that mean? And how does it work?" You know. And he says, "Take my yoke on you and learn of me."
Mm-hmm. And let me, if you don't mind,
you
know, sometimes some of these Bible expressions, especially if we've lived in the city all of our lives, we might not understand what a yoke is. But this is what back in the, and even now, a yoke will put two animals together.
Right.
And a lot of times it can be two cows or two oxen or two horses. And they do that so that they can carry the load and share the burden.
Right.
And if you have an ox, or if something is unequally yoked or unevenly yoked, then one is doing all of the pulling, and it can drag you down.
Right.
But Jesus is saying here that he carries the load.
Yeah.
That's what I see him saying here.
Yeah.
So we're unevenly yoked with Christ a lot of times, but he's saying, "Look, let me help. I'll lift that burden from you.
I'll give you rest."
Yes.
You know, he says in verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Yeah. So it's not a burden.
Right.
Really.
God wants to help us through his Son, Jesus Christ, helping us with the problems we have today, dealing with them, to encourage us, to give us peace when the world doesn't have any peace.
You know, I want to say this because we're coming off of last week talking about counting the cost. You might look at this and say, it's a difficult thing to follow Jesus. It's hard to live my life according to the way that I see him living, because there are things that I like to do, right? There are things that I want to do that are contrary to what God's word might say.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at this as we go on today. I'd like to look at this from a practical point of view, as if somebody that is listening to this program tonight has something on their heart that they know they've been trying to get rid of it and they don't know how to do it. How can this help them to overcome whatever that is? You know, maybe we can get there before we finish this evening. So, and I think that he's telling us here part of that, and that's reliance on Christ.
Right.
But we have to know him. We have to know Jesus in order to be able to trust him and throw our burden on him.
Right. I think one thing that might help if we go to Hebrews chapter 4.
Okay. Hebrews chapter 4, and it's going to take me just a second to get there. And did you have a particular verse?
Yeah, verses 15 and 16.
All right.
Not everybody may understand this, but when Jesus was raised from the grave, he ascended to heaven, And the Bible says he sits on the right hand of the throne of God as our high priest.
That's right.
So if you could read verses 15 and 16 of chapter 4.
Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." This is speaking about Jesus.
Right.
"Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need."
Yeah. You know, another place in the Bible where it talks about that is in Hebrews chapter 2.
Okay. I'm right there.
And if we look at verses 9 through the end of the chapter, I know it's a little bit long.
It is. That's all right.
It talks in verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for all.
Hmm.
For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, to bring many sons into glory, to perfect the captain of their salvation through sufferings." Jesus is the captain of our salvation.
Right.
And he was perfected through sufferings, in that he was perfected for his job description, let's say, of being our mediator.
Yeah, so what I hear you saying is, when Jesus came to this earth, he has lived the life that we have lived, as
he
far
knows,
as feeling what we feel.
Yes, he knows our experience because he's lived it himself.
Right.
And yet, in living the life that we live, he overcame sin. He didn't sin.
Hmm.
And so he has the knowledge and
of how to overcome it.
And the history of overcoming sin.
Yeah. So, you know, nothing bothers me more in the workforce than having someone tell me how to do a job that has never done the job they're
right.
telling me how to do. And God doesn't do that. He sent his son to do the task that he expects us to do, to show not only that it can be done, but how to do it.
Right. Can you read verses 14 through 18 of Hebrews 4?
Hebrews 2 or 4?
Hebrews 2, I'm
Hebrews
sorry.
2, verse yeah. 14. It says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself," speaking of Jesus,
yes.
"likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." Verse 15, "and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." So that word propitiation means to kind of make amends or to repair, right?
Okay. Maybe a substitute in our
yes.
place?
Yeah, yeah, that's good. I like that. And then verse 18 says, "For in that he himself," that's Jesus, "has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted."
The modern King James says he's able to rescue those who are being tempted.
Rescue. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
So this is showing me what can take place now.
Yes.
This is showing how we can throw our burden on the Lord, on Jesus, and how he picks up that yoke and carries us. His burden is light.
So let's carry this, let's investigate this further. Let's go deeper into this.
Okay.
Let's go to Galatians chapter 4.
All right.
And Mark, if you could read verses 4 through 7.
All right, Galatians chapter 4. And this is, the Apostle Paul wrote this to the church in Galatia. Chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ."
So we can experience Christ. God has sent the Spirit of Jesus into our hearts.
Yes.
He can influence our thoughts, our feelings, and he can direct us to be overcomers in this world, in this life that we live.
Absolutely. And so I just want to explain this for some. This might be a new thought
right.
to some people. So if you think about it, you know, when Jesus was here on the earth and he was with his disciples, in John chapters 14 through 17, mm-hmm. what was he explaining to them, Ed? That he was going to be leaving them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he had told them, I'm going away, and where I'm going,
you can't come.
And remember, the disciples have given up their lives to be with Christ, to partake in his work.
Yes. So this was very upsetting to them.
Yes.
And so keep in mind that when Jesus came here, he was a man. He was a human being like
yeah.
all of us.
Right.
So here he was with them in the room talking with them, and he's saying, if I go, it's better for you.
Yes.
And when he ascended to heavens, after his death and his resurrection, when he ascended to the heavens, now he can come to us by his Spirit.
Yes.
Right? And we can have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us.
Right.
We read that text last week. We closed with
yeah.
Colossians 1:27,
yeah.
which, what's it say, Ed? You have that pretty much memorized.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah. So we're not talking about another person in us.
Yes.
We can actually have the Spirit of Christ in us to
yes.
help us to overcome.
The reason he told the disciples it was better that he go,
mm-hmm.
because when he was on this earth, he could only be in one place at one time.
That's right. Just like me and you.
You're right.
He was like us. And so now he's glorified.
Yes.
And what does that mean for us?
He can now send, his Spirit can be in any place at the same time.
Didn't he say in one of the Gospels, where two or more are gathered, I am with you?
Yes.
So that means that, Ed, we're here mm-hmm. in the studio right now. The Spirit of Christ can be here.
Yes.
The person who is driving along on the highway, the Spirit of Christ can be with them.
Right.
If they're listening to this program, wherever they are, the Spirit of Christ can be there with them.
The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus, can help us understand these things in the Bible.
Yes, that's exactly right. And this is the help that you're talking about.
Yes. This is the second part of the gospel that we're talking about.
Okay, so, yeah, because right at the outset, you said this is the part of the gospel. We always tend to stop at the cross.
Right.
And so this is why Jesus lives. He lives today.
Let's go to Colossians chapter 1.
Okay.
And, Mark, if you could read verses 26 through 28.
Sure. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 26. It says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
Right.
So what does that mean to you, Ed? This is a powerful text.
It means that we can have the experience of Christ to help us overcome sin in our lives. He rescues us from these trials and temptations that we go through.
Okay.
Not only can he cleanse us from our sins, but he can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In 1 John 1:9.
Let's take a look at that text.
Right.
Let's look at that. 1 John, and I think, let's see, 1 John 1, and there's a couple of things that lead up to that, right?
Yes.
And I'm in 1 Peter there. I got to get to the right book.
Well, that's a good book, too.
Yeah, it is. They're all good, aren't they? 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to start, or why don't you read this, because I've read the last few times.
Okay.
Start in verse 5.
All right.
And read down through there.
And this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. This is the Apostle John speaking.
Yes.
And this is the message that they've heard from Jesus. He's sharing that with us.
Mm-hmm.
That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from sin. Mm. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from a little bit of unrighteousness?
No, it doesn't say that, does it?
It says all unrighteousness.
All. That's hard to imagine.
It is.
You know,
but we have to understand it's something we can't do ourselves.
This is where we have to recognize. You know, we can't have a relationship through our own self-righteousness, because really there's no righteousness in us
right. Unless
Christ is in us.
Yes.
And so it's not our righteousness, it's His righteousness.
Yes.
And so this is one of the things, and this is what leads up when we were talking about counting the cost. This is the benefit of, this is the return on investment,
yes,
isn't it?
Let's talk a little bit more about this. Let's go to 2 Peter.
Okay.
And chapter 1.
That's right before 1 John. Okay.
And Mark, if you could read verses 2 at least through 8.
Okay, so this is 2 Peter chapter,
yes,
1, verses 2 through 8.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Can you explain that? What does it mean to be partakers of the divine nature?
Well, let's look at the sentence before that. Has given us exceedingly and great and precious promises.
Mm-hmm.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That's what we just read in Colossians.
Yes. We can partake of Christ's divine nature because God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts.
So it doesn't mean that we become divine, but we're partakers of the nature of Jesus Christ,
right,
because He is the divine Son of God.
Right.
And that's how we overcome.
And let's see what this produces.
Okay,
us.
Verse 5. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Wow.
So Christ in you helps these things to be produced in us. These are the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes. You know, Ed, you've been leading for a good while now. You've been leading a study in the book of John.
Yes.
During Sabbath school on Sabbath morning.
Right.
And one of the texts that we did not too long ago was talking about the vine.
Yes.
The vine. So all of these things relate back to, I love the illustrations, because a vine has to be rooted in the soil in order to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ,
yes,
then we're going to produce the fruitage that vine was designed to produce.
Right. And in John 15, where you're talking about, He's saying, you can't do anything without me.
Right.
You can't,
that's right,
do these things without me.
He does say that.
So let's talk about the fruit of knowing Jesus Christ, the fruit of being connected to Him.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
As the vine. Let's go to Galatians 5.
All right.
And if you could read verses 22 through 25.
All right. You know, I want to tell this. This was the text when I was growing up as a kid. This was the text that my mom asked me to memorize.
Right.
And this was my first Bible text,
really,
that I ever memorized.
Wow.
And the interesting thing is, you know, at that time, I didn't know why.
Yeah.
But now this seems to be the go-to text for this ministry.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Galatians 5,
right,
beginning in 22, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Now, some people listening may be saying, are you crazy? That's not possible.
You know,
do you live in the same world I live in?
It's difficult, isn't it?
Yes.
It really is. We're bombarded by things that are contrary to what we just read.
Right.
Everything that we have in front of our eyes, if we turn on the TV, if we turn on the news, if we're listening to the radio, if we go to our computer and we pull up a YouTube video, we might be watching a Christian programming, and then what pops up? Something contrary to what we just learned.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that right in this text, you have that contrast.
Yeah.
Because right before what we read, we see those desires of the flesh.
Yeah.
So this is why Paul is urging us to have these fruits of the Spirit that are produced by the Spirit of Christ.
Right.
Because this is what we're up against.
Right.
And I'm going to back up here, Galatians 5.
I think it uses the term walking in the flesh.
It does.
What does that refer to?
That refers to the desires of my self.
Okay.
Right? Self, what I want.
Right.
My fleshly desires.
Right. Worldly.
Yeah, worldly things. Yeah, things that are of the world. You know, we're told in the Scripture we need to live in the world, but we shouldn't be of the world.
Right.
And that's what Paul's teaching here. So I'm going to back up to verse 16.
All right.
It says, I say then, this is Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when it says walk in the Spirit, what's that talking about?
Having Christ in your heart.
Yes, Christ in you.
Yeah.
Walking in the Spirit of Christ. Verse 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Wow, that sounds like what I'm exposed to on TV or whatever every day, doesn't it?
Even in the world around me.
Yeah, all around us, every day. Even in the ads, we see that. But it goes on here, and it says, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he contrasts that to what we read about the fruitage of the Spirit. But if we have this love, joy, and peace, it's contrary to what the world is going to teach us.
You know, some people may feel like the Bible isn't real about life.
Mm.
But actually, the Apostle Paul was very real about his experience in life.
Can you show that to us?
Yes. Let's go to Romans chapter 7.
Okay. So just a little backstory about this Paul. He originally was named Saul.
Right.
And what do we know about him, Ed?
He was a Pharisee. He was very extremely well educated in the religion of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually going about and persecuting Christians, followers of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, in fact, if we read the Bible account in the book of Acts, is that recorded in Acts where
yes.
he stood there while Stephen was stoned
yes.
to death, right?
In Acts 7.
And Stephen was a Christian man.
Yes.
And Paul was actually standing there holding the garments of the men that were stoning him to death.
Right.
But this Paul was changed.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to read now. We're going to look at right now, we're going to look at how this Saul, that is now Paul in Romans, we're going to see that he recognizes the weaknesses that he still
right.
has, even though he's become a Christian.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, this is after he's become a Christian. He has the same struggle all of us experience in our life.
Right. And keep in mind that this is a good lesson for all of us. A lot of times we'll look and we'll say, well, you know, my past is so bad, there's nothing that I can do. Paul was persecuting Christians and dragging them out and beating them up
yeah.
and watching them being killed and
yeah.
all of these things. Yet here he is, one of the foremost Bible writers.
Right. And this happened after his interaction with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he had a major conversion experience meeting Jesus, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
So
let's go to Romans 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to start in verse 7.
Okay.
It says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Let it not be said." When he's talking about the law of God, the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
"But I did not know sin except through the law. For also I did not know lust except the law said, you shall not lust. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, worked in me all kinds of lust. For apart from the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was life was found to be death to me. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and it killed me. So indeed the law is holy, the commandment is holy and just and good."
So he's not saying that the commandments are bad.
Right.
He's saying it's hard to do this.
Yes.
Is that what he's saying here?
You know, the commandments tell me what sin is.
Right.
And sin takes the advantage of the commandments, and it causes death to me if I am a sinful person.
Right. Okay.
So in verse 13, he says, "Then that which is good becomes death to me. Let it not be. But sin, that it might appear to be sin, working death in me, that which is good, in order that sin might become exceedingly sinful by the commandments. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I know not. For what I desire, what I want to do, that I do not do. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I do not desire, I consent to the law that it is good."
Mm.
"But now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me."
So there's a lot of do's here. Can you explain this a little bit, Ed? Give us a little understanding of what
Paul
he's saying.
Paul is simply saying, I know that the law of God is righteous, it's holy, and it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's saying, I want to obey God's law. I want to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
But being real about life, I find myself not doing the things I want to do and doing the things I don't want to do, those things that are against the law of God.
Those things that you know are wrong, but the flesh sometimes gets in the way, doesn't it?
Yeah, he talks about this law of sin that dwells within me.
Hmm. So that, are you going to pick up there in verse, where did we stop, verse 16?
Let me start with 16.
Okay.
"For if then I do that which I do not desire, I consent that the law is good, but now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that it is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, I want to do those things that are good, but how to perform that which is good, I do not find. For I do not do the good that I desire, but the evil which I do not will, that I do. But if I do what I do not desire, it is no more I working out, but sin dwelling in me. I find a law, when I will to do the right, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death?" So in a nutshell, Paul is being real about life, being about his experience, knowing that the law of God is good, and wanting in his heart to follow God's law, but finding he's unable to do it because of this law of sin that dwells in him, his carnal nature that he's inherited.
Okay. So to the person listening, I know we've touched on it, but I think we need to sound it down again, because They're probably listening to this, and I know when I read it, I say, this is me.
Yeah.
This is the struggle I go through every day.
Yes, it's real, being real about life.
Right. We have to be honest with ourselves and with God, right? And that's what Paul's doing here.
Yes.
And he's actually writing this to the Romans, and he's saying, look, I have these issues, but what gets me to the point to where I can likely not have these issues? How do I get there from here?
Let's go to Romans 8.
Okay, let's go to the next chapter. That's good.
Mark, can you read the first four verses?
Yes. Romans 8, beginning in verse 1, mm-hmm. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit."
So here's Paul's answer to his dilemma that he has in Romans 7.
Okay, and
he's saying it's through Christ that enables me to keep the righteousness of the law, that is fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And you just read in Galatians 5 the difference between walking in the flesh,
right,
and walking in the Spirit,
mm-hmm,
having the fruit of Christ's Spirit in us.
And it's very clear, so, what the differences are. And I think that it seems to me that most people who profess to be Christian, they want to live the life.
Yes.
But we find it so hard because it seems like when we try to walk in the Spirit, this is when the devil pushes back.
Yeah.
And that was part of counting the cost.
Yes.
The devil tries to make it as costly as he can.
Yes.
He wants you to pay the price.
Yes.
But Christ paid the price.
Yes. And He can rescue us in our time of need.
Exactly. That's exactly
right. Let's continue on. Can you read through verse 11 for us?
Yes. Picking it up in Romans 8, verse 5, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So that's telling me that worship begins in the mind.
Yes, you have to make a choice, a decision.
Yeah, it is a choice that we make.
Yes.
That's right. Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you."
Right.
So, Ed, this is saying mortal bodies.
Yeah.
That's not talking about our eternal future.
Right.
This is talking about
now.
Today.
Yeah. And notice that we can, through the Spirit of Christ, have the presence of Jehovah, Yahweh, mm-hmm, whatever name you use for God, the
yes,
Father of Jesus Christ in us. Remember, Jesus in John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me."
Right.
So it's this idea of Christ in you, the hope of glory, that we can overcome sin in our lives, that we can have the presence of Christ, not only Christ, but His Father as well.
That's amazing, isn't it?
This is what God desires in our lives. He desires to renew that broken relationship with Him.
So, which He's tried to restore from the very beginning.
Yes.
That was His whole purpose behind
right,
the promise in Genesis 3:15.
Yeah.
And so it's an amazing thing that we have a Creator, a God that loves us so much that He's going through all of this trouble to restore the breach in the gap.
Let me share another text with you. 1 Corinthians 10:13.
Okay.
And
1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians 10:13. And again, this is the modern King James Version. And I'm going to go ahead and just read verse 13.
Okay.
"There's no temptation has taken you but what is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation also will make a way to escape so that you may be able to bear it.
Hmm. He gives us the way to do it.
Yes.
And the way is, you mentioned it.
Jesus Christ.
John 14:6.
Right.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say another text that helps us understand how God is working in us is Philippians chapter 1.
Okay.
And Mark, maybe you can read verse 6.
Sure.
Or read around it if you like.
Yeah, this is Philippians 1. It says here, if I start in verse 5, it says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus." So he doesn't just leave us, right? He doesn't begin this thing and walk away. How many times, you know, we were talking about counting the cost.
Right.
And you begin to build something, and then you don't have the funds to finish it.
Right.
Well, Christ had the means because he's paid the price.
Right.
It's been paid in full. And so he has the means to complete what he has started.
Yes, and his Father has given him everything. And his Father is, he doesn't have, there's nothing he doesn't have.
Right.
You know?
He has, the Father is right there. And the thing is, we have that Spirit at our disposal. We can call on the Father and His Son to come to us at any time.
Continuing in Philippians chapter 1, can you read verses 19? I don't know. Just start reading. We'll see where we go.
You just stop me when you want me to stop. So this is Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 19.
And this is Paul speaking.
Okay. For I know that this is... I'm sorry, let me start that again. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again.
All right, thank you. This is Paul speaking, talking about having the supply of the Spirit of Christ in his life, that Christ can be magnified in his body with all boldness, whether it's by life or death. And he's saying, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. To die means he's no longer experiencing the things of this world, and that eventually Christ will come again and he'll live with him.
So he's saying that he's dying to himself.
Right.
And this is all part of what he talks about in Romans. Mm-hmm. This is part of the born-again experience,
right?
Dying to our former course, which Saul, who became Paul, did. Mm-hmm. He has proven that. That these are the things that he did. He laid down his old life and he was raised a new man in Christ Jesus.
Right. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2.
All right. Galatians 2.
Can you read verse 20?
Yeah, I can hear my pages turning in the headphones but that's okay. I do it the old-fashioned way. Galatians 2, verse 20?
Yes.
It says, I have been crucified with Christ. This is Paul again. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain.
Right.
So what this is telling me is we need to have faith in Christ Jesus, right. Of course, but we have to have the faith of Christ, right. Of the Son of God.
Yeah, Jesus' faith was in his Father. He came to do the will of his Father. Mm. The words that he spoke were the words that his Father gave him to speak. And he spoke those because he knows that what in the Father's words is everlasting life, which chapter 12 tells us about. You know, I want to go to Revelation chapter 3.
Okay.
And when we look at Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we have seven churches. And in terms of the representation of these churches, they all represent different time periods of the Christian church, mm-hmm. which Jesus Christ started. And we know that the church of Laodicea is the last church. It's the church at the end times, which I believe we're now living in.
I believe that too.
So can you read Revelation 3, 14 through 22 and stop
sure.
wherever you need to?
Okay. So this is, again, this is speaking about, we believe this is speaking about in the time period in which we are living.
Yes.
Okay. And it says here in Revelation chapter 3, beginning in 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Excuse me. I know your works, that you are neither hot, I'm sorry, mine says that you are neither cold uh-huh. nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, this is Jesus'
right.
words.
Yes.
These are red letters in my yeah. Bible. Verse 17, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, we can't overlook that word, can we? I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Okay, he in the beginning here in verses 14, 15, 16, he's telling the church there, I know your works.
Mm-hmm.
They're not either cold nor hot. I would desire that you be cold or hot.
Yeah.
Think about this.
Make a decision.
Yes.
That's what he's saying.
Well, not only that, but if you're hot, you're on fire for God, you're sharing, you're witnessing, you're living the life, not
sure.
just talking about it, you're living it. If you're cold, you want to do something about being cold.
Mm-hmm.
You see your need. You want to do something about it. But if you're lukewarm, you're just kind of satisfied with the status quo.
And that's what he's telling them here.
Yes.
He's saying, because you're that way, you know, I think this is the problem with many of us. We go to church. We're there on the weekend. We might even go to the midweek study. We kind of show up. And when we're there at church, we're living the Christian life. When we're at the Bible study, we're living the Christian life. But what's the rest of the week look like?
Yeah.
What does my life look like? If someone were to follow me around, would they see the same person in the supermarket that they see in the church?
Right.
Is it the same person?
Yeah. It's important to be honest with yourself about what's in your heart and mind.
It surely is. And the thing is, a lot of times we look and we say, well, I'm a part of this church, and I know that it's the closest thing to Bible truth,
yeah.
right? Well, he says here, look, you might think that, but he's saying you're poor, you're blind, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're naked.
Yeah.
It's not the church that makes you that way.
Right.
The church doesn't make me a Christian.
Right.
It's Christ in me
yes.
that makes me a Christian.
Yes. And look at his counsel. He says, buy from me, being Jesus Christ speaking. Gold purified by fire. His experience he's had as a human on this earth, where mm-hmm. he overcame sin.
Yeah.
And he can help us overcome sin. He can rescue us from sin so that you may be rich, rich in faith.
Hmm.
Having the faith of Jesus, white clothing, his righteousness that we've been clothed. We can't put fig leaves on our body to cover our sins and expect to be clothed. We're still going to feel naked like Adam and Eve did.
Right. Yeah, you're referring back to the garden there.
Yeah. And he says that you may be clothed so that the shame of your nakedness does not appear, verse 18, just like Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. You can see the beauty of the gospel. We can see salvation through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And look, verse 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in.
We have to let him in.
Yes.
He doesn't beat the door down, does
yes.
he? It's a choice.
And we'll dine with him and he with me.
Hmm. So I guess it boils down to the listener has to determine, the ones who are tuned in, what choice are you going to make?
Yes.
Do you want to let Christ into your heart to make the, help you make those changes?
Right.
Because if you don't, he's not going to beat the door down.
In this session and in the last session, we talk about the cost mm-hmm. and the benefits.
We did.
Now's the time to make a choice.
Now is the time. Today yeah. is the day of salvation.
Yes.
And so we can't stress that enough. We're out of time, Ed. It's,
wow.
it's hard to believe that an hour goes by so quick. So let's have a closing word of prayer, shall we? It's been a great study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful to be here this evening. We thank you for this time that we were able to open your word and just learn more about you and your son. Father, we ask that your spirit will be with us through this new week as we begin and that you will keep us safe until we come together again. We ask for your spirit in helping us to understand these things and know more about you. We're grateful for every gift you give us. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, it's hard to believe the time goes that quick.
Yeah, it's great, though.
It is. And friends, we want to invite you back here next week, 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. Let me see if I can speak.
Yeah.
And we're glad you tuned in. We hope to see you 7 p.m. Eastern Time right here. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.